The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
Okay, you call Jefferson America's founding gardener. He had a good garden?
Fantastic. It's absolutely gorgeous.
He had a little bit of an advantage over modern gardeners in that he had slaves, though. Because those guys I pick up in front of the Home Depot, they're cheap, but they're not slaves. Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of Americans, my understanding is, do their gardening in their closet with a grow light. Yeah. What does that say about us? What does that say about America as a culture?
We're a culture that values our privacy.
And our munchies. Thank you so much for joining.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a Kishka's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. I'm sorry, I started laughing on Kishka. I'm like, what's that? You eat it? You don't sleep with it? Right.
And that's usually the place where Heather says, and now Mike Novak. But this is the place where I say this portion of the Mike Novak Show is also brought to you by Allsip Nursery, a fine new sponsor on the show. Where's my bell? There we go. And I'm glad. And they're offering the best of every season since 1969. And I'm certainly glad to have them on the show. Actually, we've got a few more advertisers on the show. It's spring. That's what happens. Yeah, and Dennis is going, woo-hoo-hoo, let's raise the roof on that one. Sitting in the booth opposite me is Bedalia Tejada, also known as Lady B. How you doing, Lady B?
How are you?
Good. She's filling in for Heather today. And maybe for a little bit, Heather's taken a leave here. She's got a lot going on in her life, so I'm like, yeah, if you can use a Sunday, you know, because she's here 5 days a week as it is, you know, it's tough, and she does the traffic stuff here at WCPT, and it's a hard job. Yes, it is. And I know, because you've watched her do it, haven't you, Bedalia?
Yes, I have.
You can turn your mic up just a tad there.
Okay.
All right. And so Bedalia will be filling in for a little bit. And actually, on the Twitter and Facebook duties, I got Kathleen, who's in the studio, because she was on with Mike Sanders and the crew of Our Town. So it's everybody's got double duty here today. She'll get some, you know, I was so busy leading into this show yesterday and today, I didn't get anything on Facebook. I didn't get anything on Twitter. So those of you on Twitter, post something for me right now. I can't even post my own tweets on Twitter, because I'm too busy lining everything up. Our guests for the show, who are many and diverse. Lots going on. We're going to start with the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, which is going on right now at Navy Pier. And I got to see it on Friday evening at the big gala benefit. As I say on my website, there has to be some perk to doing this gig, and that's one of them, I guess. Is Mr. Brown Thumb online there?
Yes, he is. He's on line 7.
He's standing by on line 7. I didn't even know we had 7 lines here. Hang on, Mr. BT. We'll be with you in just a second. Rick DeMaio weather later on in the show. Second hour. Oh, and by the way, if you have seed starting questions, one of the things, the reason Mr. Brown Thumb is on the show, he's going to be at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show this afternoon for the Great Seed Swap. Now, if you got seeds and you want to get them started and you want to swap them, you want to go down to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show at Navy Pier. And folks of all types are going to be there trading stuff, trading seeds. We'll talk about that in a second. But if you're at that point of the season where you are starting your seeds indoors, I suppose even out. I mean, I looked at the forecast for the week. It's going to be in the 60s all week. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's the first week in March. It's nutty. So, you know, I imagine some people are going to direct sow seeds. I have to ask Rick DeMaio whether we're going to get any cold weather, because that would change that tune a little bit. But not in the next week, it doesn't look like. So anyway, second hour, Jim Slama, who is the founder and president of FamilyFarmed.org, is going to be here to talk about the Good Food Festival and Conference. It's one of the big deals about local food in Chicago. It is the biggest local food conference in Chicago each year. And that's next week, March 15th to 17th, and that's going to be at the UIC on the near south side of Chicago. And Karen Hudson later on, kind of in the same vein, there was a law that failed to make it out of committee in Springfield this week, what we call an ag gag law. And the truth is, it would make you gag. But the point is, across the country, folks are trying to put a muzzle on whistleblowers who go into confined animal feeding operations and take pictures to show the distress that the animals are under and the conditions under which they exist. And now, in their infinite wisdom, legislators all over the country are trying to stop that. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't really want to know what's going on there. You can't do that. That's and so one of those laws came up in Illinois this week, and apparently folks like us, it wasn't me because I did Facebook about it, but it was written about in the Trib and some other places, and the press was not good, and then they pulled the plug on the law. They got a little, they got cold feet and decided not to put it through the Illinois General Assembly. But you know, it'll be back. Like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction coming out of the bathtub, it will happen. Don't you think it's a good metaphor, Lady
yes,
B?
Yes, I do.
These bad, bad laws that pop up all over the country, and people fight them, and then you know, it's like the legislatures never die. They always find a way to bring up bad laws over and over and over again.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just sad. So Karen Hudson from Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water will be here to talk about that. And then finally, speaking of bad laws and bad policy, the Starved Rock thing refuses to go away. The issue of whether there's going to be an open pit sand mine next to the entrance to Starved Rock. What a great idea that is, don't you think?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think, you know, just put a chain link fence around it and say, try not to fall in as you're going into Starved Rock. Please don't take a step left because you'll fall into this big 90-foot pit. Take a step right and now you'll be in Starved Rock State Park. And that battle is still being waged in LaSalle County. John McKee, who's the president of the Starved Rock Audubon, will be here to give us an update because there's going to be a meeting tomorrow. The county board, okay. The county board is going to meet again, and they're going to try to decide whether there should be hearings on this. Whether the county board in LaSalle County is going to meet to decide whether they're actually interested in democracy. Isn't that cool?
Yes, I think
that's just so wonderful. They're probably not really interested in democracy and hearing the people's opinion of this. But we'll talk to John McKee about that later. So we got a ton of stuff on the show, which means I should go right away to line seven. Wow. Yes. Mr. Brown Thumb, it's an honor to have you on line seven.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. You okay there?
Yeah, well, I was like a little thrown back by the Colbert skit. I wasn't expecting it, and I was just tweeting about it. I was like, how am I supposed to follow that?
You don't. Nobody can follow Colbert. I mean, I set myself up. You know, if I start the show with Stephen Colbert and then here's Mike Novak. Yeesh. Well, I'm glad you appreciated it. I certainly do. And I appreciate the fact that you're having the great seed swap at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Now, I have to ask you, have you been to the show yet?
I haven't been to the show yet, but like you, I appreciate that they're allowing us to have a seat swap there, because there have been a number of us, a lot of people that you know from Twitter for the past few years have been having one underneath their nose without permission. So we would show up with seeds and we would just swap them while we were on the floor, walking around, talking, things like that. So it was really like a small community event.
You were doing guerrilla seed swapping?
Yes, we were doing guerrilla seed swapping at the show for the past 3 years now, I guess.
I did not know that.
A lot of people didn't know that. And
now you need them to know about that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Somehow the show people found out about it, and they asked me this year if I would be willing to open it up to anybody who comes to the show. And so I said, sure, why not? It's a fun event for me and like the friends that have been doing it, but now we get to share the experience or the hobby of swapping seats with everybody who lives in Chicago or who wants to come down for the seat swap.
So do you have any idea how many people are going to show up for this?
You know, I don't, and I'm kind of worried about that. Because, I mean, I've hosted seat swaps for the past few years in various places in Chicago, like at the Lurie Garden. And it's been a manageable number of people, you know, because they're usually smaller venues and people either hear about them through my blog or they hear about them from the people who are allowing me to host one there. But this year it's different because I've never had a seat swap in a place where potentially thousands of people are walking through it at that exact same moment, or that millions of people will be exposed of through advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of worried about that, but it should be fun.
Yeah. Well, where exactly are you guys setting up?
It's going to be right on the floor. It's going to be right outside of the White House garden that they've recreated for the show. They've recreated the vegetable garden, and we're going to be right outside of that. So it should be easy for people to find because we're not going to be off in a room or...
Oh, the vegetable... Are you talking about the one... now, you haven't been there. But
I haven't been there, but I saw a picture of it online.
The White House.
Yeah, the White House vegetable garden.
I had a picture taken of me by the White House on Friday, but I think it ended up being a little blurry. It was Kathleen's nodding, yeah, because she added the photos. But I do have photos at MikeNovak.net. If you go to the homepage, KT put a little slideshow together so you can see some of the stuff at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. One of the cool things is in the slideshow you will see a sculpture by Jenny Pickford, who bills herself as an artist blacksmith. And she's sitting right in front of her sculpture that she put together for the show. And it's very cool. I met her the other day, and so I said, hey, get in front of that so we can get a photo of it. And you can see some of the other stuff. And I will say here officially on the Mike Novak Show that I'm giving the 2012 version of Chicago Flower and Garden Show a thumbs up. It's got more of that design thing going on. You know, I always say, and I don't know if you agree with me, Mr. Brown Thumb, that garden shows are more about, where they're 80% design and 20% horticulture. Because there's only so much horticulture you can do in the first week of March in Chicago. And my feeling is that, you know, it's about the frou-frou and it's about the glitz. It's showbiz is what it is. It's kind of like me doing a garden show. What's my background in, horticulture? Well, it's showbiz. So, and that's what the flower show is about. So I hope you enjoy it too. And I hope you get a lot of people, at the seed swap. Again, tell people exactly where it's going to be.
It's going to be outside of the White House garden.
Yeah. You know, just look for the big White House. You can't, as in Washington, D.C. White House, you can't miss it. It's way at the east end, the northeast end of the flower show. And it's real easy to see. You'll see a vegetable garden and you'll see a big honking mural of the White House. And that's where the seed swap will be. I have had a few, we have some folks on Twitter. I don't know how much you're able to multitask here, Mr. Brown Thumb. We had some folks that are, you know, some of them are tweeting about the time change and losing an hour of sleep. So am I. I mean, I'm not happy about this.
I went to bed early specifically for this because I didn't want to sleep during the phone call for the radio show. But yeah, I went to sleep about 9 p.m. last night just for your show. See?
Did you really?
See what I do? Yes, I did.
You know, it's not necessary for my show, believe me. And you know, Cope Dog missed the beginning of the show. He missed the Stephen Colbert thing because of the time change. And by the way, yeah, if you're out there, hey, wake up. You're late for whatever you're doing. You're late. There's a lot of people out there going, what? Huh? Huh? Well, listen, hang on a second. What I want to talk to you a little bit about, because first of all, I'm going to ask you what kind of seeds you're bringing to the seed swap and what you're working on, what you got coming up at home right now. And I invite people to call in at 773-763-9278 if they have questions for Mr. Brown Thumb, because you've become sort of the seed guy, the seedy guy. There we go. You're the seedy fellow who writes in blogs and does a column and does everything. But you do tend to focus on seeds, don't you?
I do tend to focus on seeds because they're less expensive to work with, and because I just find the process of sharing and sowing seeds to be integral to gardening. I mean, we can all go out and buy plants, but there's no real sense of community building with people who you may not know, mm-hmm. or strangers, or there's no making new friends, you know. When you go to the garden center, the person bringing you up doesn't really care what you bought, so... But people care about what you started from seeds because they're having the same experiences as you, so it's easier to have some camaraderie or people to speak to about the whole thing.
No, I get the cheap part. It all starts with the money, eh?
Yeah.
No, and actually, the great thing about seeds too is that you get more varieties. You're able to. You can't always find the varieties of plants already growing that you want, but seeds. All you need is the seed.
Right. And sometimes, I mean, if you can find them, they're a lot more expensive. Like there's a cardinal climber. It's a vine that I really like to grow. And at the only garden center that I see it at, it's like $5 for a little 4-inch pot. But for $2, I can go and buy myself a packet of seeds that has 50 seeds, and I can grow a lot more of the plant. So it just makes a lot more sense to go out and buy the things, even if you can find them, because they're way less expensive than purchasing them as plugs or starts or...
Is that an Ipomea you're talking about, the cardinal climber?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That is a cool plant. And you're right. You don't find it very often. It just doesn't seem to be out there. All right, that's Mr. Brown Thumb. Give us a call, 773-763-9278, if you have a question for him. Or I'll tell you what, if you've been to the flower show, if you got there yesterday for the opening day, give me a holler. Give me your impression of what you think the show looks like and how it's doing this year. The early bird gets the worm, and when it comes to pest control, the early control gets no bugs. Get a jump on this year's garden insect problems by picking up some All Seasons oil spray from Bonide. And glad to have them back this year. Early spraying smothers most insect eggs left behind by last year's plant-destroying insects and helps to control all insects throughout the growing season. Of course, you need to know which insects you're going after. Bonide's all-season oil is recommended for use on shade trees, fruit trees, shrubs, roses, and ornamental plants. All Seasons oil is available in ready-to-use quarts, concentrate, and in a convenient ready-to-spray formulation with built-in hose and applicator. Go green this year. Try All Seasons oil by Bonide, sometimes called horticultural oil, and it's a very mild thing. It takes out insects and doesn't harm the beneficials. You can find it at these local retailers: Allsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, Atrium Garden Center in Lake Zurich, Illinois, Village Green locations in Rockford, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or your Droid.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Hey, it's another growing season, and I'm happy to welcome Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines back to the Mike Novak Show for the year. In the next hour, I'll have Dr. Wally's tip of the week. Right now, I'm focused on this ridiculously early spring in the Midwest. Today is warm and beautiful, so head out to Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. I mean it. Right now. Go on. What's available? English daisies, dianthus, mixed spring annual planters, pansies and violas, potted tulips, daffodils and hyacinths, primroses, ranunculus, sweet alyssum, stock, a full assortment of summer bulbs, including cannas, callas, dahlias, or dahlias, as some people say, lilies and more, as well as seeds and seed-starting supplies, which will make Mr. Brown Thumb happy. And Pesci's offers a complete line of organic amendments, fertilizers, and curatives, along with the proper advice to get you growing naturally. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of 294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at pesci's.com. That's P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. Yeah, it's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And if you didn't hear it earlier, yeah, this is the first day of daylight saving time. Now, we could go into that whole thing, and I don't get it anymore. I have no idea why we do this. It's just, this just seems like the silliest exercise in the history of the world to mess with people's biological clocks twice a year. Not just once a year, but twice a year. That's what we do. We're just messing with people. And, you know, there's Mr. Brown Thumb getting to bed early just so he could be on the show. What have you got? What have you got started at your house this early season, Mr. Brown Thumb?
You know, I don't have anything started yet except for some Egyptian walking onions, but those were bulbs that I got at a seed swap that the Chicago Botanic Garden did a couple of weeks ago, and they did their first one too. So it's, and then last week there was the one at the Hull House Museum.
Yeah.
So it's nice that these institutions are sort of following the lead of what us gardeners have been doing for a number of years here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have anything started because I actually don't start seeds until the opening weekend of the flower show. So
this is the week for you then, huh?
Yeah, because this is when I have all the, by now I'll have all the seeds that I'm interested in growing or that I'm interested in sharing out to other people that I saved from my own garden.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't start seeds until, I guess, Monday.
Okay. Are you beeping at me there? Is that you?
I don't think that's me. I thought it was you guys.
Oh, no, it's not
me. I heard the beep on hold. I heard it when I was on hold too.
Oh, really?
It was like the sound for coming off of commercial break or something.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I saw Dennis running in the other room. Maybe he knows what's going on. I got a feeling the minute he heard that, he started running. Well, we'll see what happens. So what are you taking to the flower show today to swap? What are you hoping to give away?
You know, I have a lot of things. I have companies like Renee's Garden, Baker Creek, High Mowing Organic Seeds. Who else am I missing? There's Grow Organic. The GrowOrganic.com, the website, sent us seeds. So we have a lot of vegetables and herbs that people can sample that we're bringing with us, that I'm bringing with me to the flower show. But for my own garden, I have some tomato seeds. You know, a couple of years ago, you remember how the Cook County Jail Garden used to be connected to the Master Gardener program?
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I was kind of surprised when they, you know, parted ways. And I believe it was financial. But anyway, continue.
Well, I used to go to the Harvest Festival. That was when they gave the inmates their Master Gardener certificates.
Mm-hmm.
And the inmates would get their certificates, and their family members would be there, and it was like this graduation ceremony in the middle of the garden. Well, one year I stole a tomato from there, and I saved the seeds when I got.
Wait! You stole tomato from a jail garden?
Exactly. I can't go anywhere without ripe fruit that nobody else is going to take.
Yeah.
I have like a problem. I can't go somewhere and not collect it. So I pocketed the tomato, brought it home, saved the seeds. And last year I shared it with one of my friends in Michigan. She grew some of the seeds and gave me back a whole bunch more seeds.
Yeah.
So this year I'm giving out those seeds to a lot more people. To get them to grow, it's a green zebra tomato, which is a great tomato. It's beautiful, it's flavorful. So that's one of the things in particular that I'm excited to give out to people. But I have everything from annuals, perennials, vegetables, herbs from my own seed collection that I'm handing out to people.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the definite. That's the definition of cojones, to steal tomato seeds from a jail garden. That's amazing.
You know what? Anybody could go. Anybody can go out and buy seeds for a green zebra tomato. But how many people could grow a green zebra tomato and say that the original person who grew it was an inmate at a jail working in a garden? So I figured, you know what? This was too big of like a story behind the tomato not to do it.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
I was going to take the risk because, I mean, a big part of the seeds was that we share the history of where they come from and who grew them and what happened during the growing process. So I was like, nobody else in Chicago is going to have a seed story like this. So I couldn't pass it up. I had to take the tomato and save the seeds.
By the way, Cope Dog tells us he just tweeted that he says he will be bringing extra coin envelopes to the seed swap for those who don't have any. That's awfully nice of him.
Yeah, he's one of Cope Dog, Snappy J Dog, My Skinny Garden, Linda, who was on your show for the 1C Chicago debate. They're all volunteering to help me make sure that the. Not a big mob scene at the seed swap today.
Oh, heck, you know, it's going to be a mob scene just for people who want to meet you for the first time, all right, just to get a glimpse of the elusive Mr. Brown Thumb. Kathleen, did you have some news there?
Yeah, My Skinny Garden tweeted that she's taking her 75 packs of Green Envy Zinnia to trade.
Oh, my goodness.
What is she doing with 75 packs?
My skinny, okay, you have to see it to believe it, but when we went to the Chicago Botanic Garden seed swap a couple of weeks ago, weekends ago, I got into my skinny garden's car because she picked me up. It was me, my skinny garden, and Snappy J Dog from Twitter. They picked me up. I get into a car, and the back seat, it looks like somebody lives there because it was filled with seeds, like with boxes of seeds. And I was like, oh, my goodness. This is somebody who has a bigger problem than I do because it looked like she was living. It looked like there was a gardener living out of her car.
What is that so she's a seed hoarder, huh?
Well, yeah. She puts them to use. So I don't know. Hoarders. When I see the TV show or see like segments about them, they usually don't ever use the product or whatever it is they're saving, but hoarding. But she actually puts them to use. So
all right. So that takes her out of that whole category of being a hoarder. Huh?
It takes her out of the crazy section of hoarding. I guess more into the
right out of the crazy. Well, and somebody who is this tweeted here? Donegan Gardens. Says something, recommends origami and newspaper for
for the seeds that I'm bringing and I'm recommending the people, they have to package their own, the seeds to the seed swap to make it easy, to make the process easier. I recommend like those paper cone envelopes or the little mini Ziploc bags, the ones that some people buy some other kinds of seeds and other products in.
Uh-huh.
But you could also, some beaters and crafters use them to hold jewelry beads and little things for crafting. But I'm recommending people put those in. But if you don't have any of those, if you're listening to the show now, you could Google for origami envelope, and you can learn how to make your own envelopes out of like newspaper or magazines like in a minute. And you can package up your seeds, and then you can come down and join us for the seed swap at 3.
Oh, see, I thought they were going to take newspapers and make little birds out of them and things like that and put the seeds in the back of the, you know, like, but this is just an origami envelope. Okay. By the way, Mr. Brown Thumb, we got a tweet here. And I think it's Carrie who, says, I think stealing someone's real summer tomato is like, stealing their good horse back in the Wild West. You got to string them up.
Well, it was the last. Well, maybe that makes it even worse. But it was the last one of the harvest because they had harvested all of the stuff that we're gonna donate to the pantries already, and it was like the end of the season.
Yeah.
But I guess technically I did take the last one, so I took the last bit of summer from the garden.
The last bit? You stole the last bit of summer? Oh, that's just sad.
Now I'm giving summers to hundreds of more people. So.
Well, that's true.
I think it's a trade off.
Yeah, it is a trade off. Mr. BT, big seed swap this afternoon, the great seed swap at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. If folks are interested in going, just show up at 3 o'clock and until they kick you out. That seems to be the mantra there.
The show ends at 5, but I mean, I guess if the seeds run out early, then I guess the seed swap's over. But if it continues on to 5 or 5:30, then we'll just wait till they kick us out.
and then steal something. And no, don't steal anything.
No. Not from the flower show. There's no seed heads at the flower show, right? It's all flowers. So.
Well, I you know, usually the flowers have not gone to seed, so you're not even going to be tempted. To do that. Mr. Brown Thumb, always a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope it goes well. I'm interested in your opinion of the Chicago, the 2012 version of Chicago Flower and Garden Show. And we will talk soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
I hope it goes really well.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Spring is blooming at Alsip Nursery. And they are, as I said, a new sponsor on the Mike Novak Show. And right now, they have everything you'll need to get your yard and garden in shape. Now is the time to start flowers and vegetables from seed. We just talked about that. It's a great family project, and Alsip Nursery has everything you'll need, including seed packets, soils, supplies, and indoor grow lights. And if you want to have the best lawn on the block, get started soon. Alsip has all the best brands, including premium grass seed, organic fertilizers, and weed controls from Jonathan Green. You know, it's interesting. I'm thinking about this weather, and we're going to get Rick DeMaio on in just a second to talk about how this is going to stretch out. You know, normally at this time of the year, I'd be saying, well, if you look at the lawns, they're brown. You know, they're dormant. Nothing happening yet. I got crocuses growing up in my lawn right now, and the crocuses are happy, but even they are early. You know, normally I wouldn't tell you to go out and work on your lawn yet, because it's too early, and it's going to be often it's moist, and you're going to compact the soil, and that's not good. That's something to think about when you're out in your yard, messing around because it's so warm. Do be careful of compacting the soil, because once you do that, it's really hard to undo. Just letting you know. Learn more about all that Alsop Nursery has to offer during their annual flower and garden show at both of their stores on Saturday and Sunday, March 24th and 25th. You'll be able to meet with an elite group of vendors and special guests and see for yourself all that's new and neat for 2012, with a special emphasis on earth-friendly products, including Dr. Earth. Dozens of exhibitors will be on hand. There'll be door prizes, free product demos, and educational seminars, including a special presentation called "I'm Not Really a Garden Expert, I Just Play One on the Radio." Wow, that sounds kind of like me. Oh, wait a second, it is me. I'm going to be there at Alsop Nursery on that Saturday, March 24th. So, and I'm going to be there like 11 to 2, I believe, and do my presentation around 1 o'clock. So I hope you stop by. Visit Alsop Nursery for the best of every season in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. You can visit them online at alsipnursery.com, A-L-S-I-P, nursery.com. Now, here is a tip from the Care of Trees. It doesn't matter if the season is winter or spring or summer or fall, you know, and this year we have no idea. But if you have mature trees in your yard, you might want to have the Care of Trees phone number handy. They can't restore your power after a big storm, but they do have 24-hour emergency service, and they can take care of your damaged trees. Many people don't understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees yourself, especially if the tree falls on a car, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. The Care of Trees offers 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. That number again, 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Goes on and on and on. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook. Go to the Mike Novak Show. You can Twitter us, tweet us. We're there. And Mr. Brown Thumb just tweeted. And thanks for being on. We appreciate that. You can catch a podcast if you don't get the whole show. Go to MikeNovak.net. Our podcasts are online there. You can just click on it and listen to it on your computer. Or you can download it from Twitter. iTunes. iTunes has a, yeah. Don't you laugh at me, Lady B. it's also complicated. It's a brave new world. You know that.
That's right.
One of the things you'll always get is Rick DeMaio, who I just hung up on. How did that happen?
I'll get him back.
All right, get him back. I just double-clicked it. That's what you're supposed to do, and boom, He was gone. Again, 773-763-9278 is our phone number if you ever want to call in. And we certainly encourage you to do that. And Kathleen staffing the now your Twitter today and Lady B's Facebook, is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Teamwork, teamwork.
We've got the whole staff here working on it. You see? See what Heather was juggling here in the control booth?
I see.
Yeah, absolutely. Pancakes, waffles, maple syrup. Are you working on... okay, good. Hey, have you ever wondered how that syrup makes it from the tree to the bottle? Or maybe you forgot that it even comes from trees. Now, if you did, I won't tell anyone. But I'll tell everyone who's listening that you can take part in the sap tapping process and partake of some freshly boiled maple syrup at the North Park Village Nature Center's Maple Syrup Festival the week of March 24th and 25th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's sponsored by Openlands. See, the grounds of the North Park Village Nature Center used to be part of a tuberculosis sanitarium, and maybe you didn't know that. And that closed down in 1974, and the city wanted to turn the site into a shopping center. They always do. That's the default mode. Turn it into a shopping center. But Openlands found out about it and was one of the key partners that pushed for the preservation of the land as public property. And now it's an urban nature oasis. I've been there. Actually took my tree keeper courses there at North Park Village Nature Center. A great place. If you haven't been there, you need to stop by. The North Park Village Nature Center's Maple Syrup Festival, March 24th to 25th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., takes place at 5801 North Pulaski Road. That's where the Nature Center. It's right at the Pulaski and Peterson. For more information, call 312-744-5472 or just go to openlands.org. Openlands, conserving nature for life. Where's Mr. DeMaio? Don't you talk to him. You put him on hold. We're on the air. She's like chatting away. What are you getting, your own special forecast or something in there? Okay. Lady B, Lap, come on. What's going on?
I'm still ringing.
Oh, but did you have him before?
Yes. I don't know what happened.
Oh. Okay. Well, you know, we can take care of some business until we get Mr. DeMaio here. I was going to give him a little extra time, and there he is. He's someplace else. Okay. We'll be right back.
Lake Michigan. It's our drinking water. Who will protect it from pollution and invaders like Asian carp? Who will clean up the Chicago River and make it a healthy, inviting waterway that flows through our neighborhoods? Sierra Club is proud to recommend two great women, Deborah Shore and Carrie Steele, to protect these two great waters. Deborah Shore and Carrie Steele, a conservationist and a chemist, have earned the Sierra Club's endorsement for Water Reclamation District. Two great women to protect two great waters, Lake Michigan and our Chicago River. Learn more about Deborah Shore and Carrie Steele at illinois.sierraclub.org. That's illinois.sierraclub.org. Paid for by the Sierra Club Illinois Political Committee.
Join us at the Good Food Festival and Conference, March 15th through 17th at the UIC Forum. Brought to you by FamilyFarmed.org. The Good Food Festival and Conference celebrates leaders, businesses, and individuals that sustain the locally driven good food movement and empower you to do it yourself. The festival has offerings for foodies, gardeners, and families alike. Workshops feature sessions on permaculture, butchering and sausage making, growing and preserving your own food, and of course, backyard chickens. Don't miss chef demos, the Kids Corner, and the Good Food Court, and over 150 good food exhibitors. If making change in our local food system interests you, or you are a small local food business or farm, come learn from the two conference days on Thursday and Friday. For you foodies, catch the Localicious Party Friday night. Localicious is the food event of the season, pairing family farms with 20 chef-driven restaurants, sampling dishes that highlight local flavors of the season. Experience the movement that's transforming the way we eat. The Good Food Festival and Conference is March 15th through 17th at the UIC Forum Chicago. Buy online and save at goodfoodfestivals.com.
If you haven't ordered your D. Landreth Seed 2012 seed catalog yet, here's another tasty reason. The Purple Vienna Kohlrabi. This is one of the oddest and least well-known members of the cabbage family, and interestingly enough, one of the newest. There is no mention of kohlrabi before the 1500s. There were always three kinds of kohlrabi, a green-rooted, a white-rooted, and a purple-rooted variety. Both purple Vienna and white Vienna are much the same as they were 500 years ago. The vegetable looks like it is straight out of some science fiction movie. I know, because I grew it last year. The bulbs that mature on top of the soil or only partially buried have tentacle-like stems protruding from the surface and look like they were abandoned by the very same Martians that died in the War of the Worlds. There's a thought when when you're growing your kohlrabi. Kohlrabi is best harvested young. For purple Vienna, that means at 50 to 55 days. The root can be eaten raw or lightly steamed or sautéed. It has a crisp, sweet flavor. And you can order it from the fabulous 2012 D. Landreth Seed Company catalog. Log on to landrethseeds.com, L-A-N-D-R-E-T-H, seeds.com, or call 800-654-2407. You can also find them on Facebook. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784. And that's all I'm asking for, Mr. DeMaio, is a little respect. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing fine, Mike.
What's going on with this weather, man?
It's nice, isn't it?
I mean, yesterday was okay. The day before was actually cold, but today's going to be spectacular. And then I'm looking at this string of 60s down the week. Whoa.
Yeah, you know what, Mike, it just goes in line with what's been happening this entire non-winter. We never really had the core of any, you know, persistent, cold, snowy weather. I've been saying this since October. October acted like September. November acted like October. December acted like November. We didn't really have much of the middle of, you know, December and January. And if you recall, back in late October, I think it was the last weekend of October when it had that huge 30-inch snowstorm up across the Northeast, I said, you know, it'd be interesting to see if this would end up being the biggest storm of the year. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I kind of commented on, do we count the snowfall from the end of last year or the beginning of this year? And sure enough, it was the biggest storm of the year. And in fact, even though yesterday made it up to 60, it seemed like it took a while to get there. And much of the first part of the day was kind of a windy, kind of cool day. But today, fantastic, probably mid to upper 60s. We'll see some clouds and rain late this afternoon. Well, I should say not late this afternoon, but more so this evening, probably not until about 9 or 10 o'clock. And I just, you know, discovered that this may be the last weekend of the, you know, Millennium Park ice rink as they're looking at the forecast. And they're thinking of, you know, basically taking it down by Monday or Tuesday, which is probably going to be a good idea because, as you mentioned, you know, we're going to have temperatures in the 60s for the next 6 to 7 days. And, you know, I've already seen, and you have as well, tulips and crocuses already beginning to get their shoots up and the crocuses are blooming. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised, Mike, if by this time next week there's four times as many flowers out there blooming right now because the ground is warm, which is a huge, huge impact on whether or not things can grow. It's not so much the air temperature, but it's the soil temperature. And the soil temperature never really got that cold this year. In fact, this is the only winter in 140 years of record keeping in Chicago, actually the second one, that the overnight low temperature has failed to go below 5 degrees above zero. Typically, we average about 10 or 11 degrees below zero. We never even got below five. So our ground temperature, if you go down about 2 or 3 inches, is still probably in the upper 30s. So all the I think this year more than any, Mike, you are going to see more of your annuals popping out earlier than we've ever seen, and it's not so much due to the air temperature, but it's due to the soil temperature.
You mean the perennials popping out earlier?
The perennials, yeah, the perennials.
And the annuals are going to pop out in the garden centers soon because that's what they are going to be selling and trying to get people. You know, why wouldn't the people go? I'm betting that yesterday and today are going to be almost record business for a lot of garden centers around Chicago, given that it's early, but it's beautiful, and we haven't had much of a winter, and people are thinking, I can do this. Let's get it planted.
Yeah, probably the only thing that will keep those numbers down is the fact that you have the garden show, and instead of people going, to the garden centers, they'll go, let's go to the garden show. But even when you go to the garden show, you're walking on a Navy Pier going, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. It's an interesting point because in the past, sometimes the nice weather will keep people away from a garden show. I don't know whether that works that way or not. I'm not really sure because I can remember garden shows and walking out of the garden show and it's snowing outside.
Right.
Yeah, because it's early March and that happens. But it'll be interesting to see with a week of 60s, and that's what we're looking at, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess there's two different ways of looking at it, because I've always felt that, why do I want to go to a flower and garden show and I'm not going to do any flower and gardening, your casual gardeners, until probably another 6 to 8 weeks. And you get down the Navy Pier and it's cold and it's snowing and there's ice on the lakefront, and you're like, the last thing I want to think about is gardening. But this may actually have a bit of a reverse effect where people go, you know what? I think it's kind of cold. Maybe we should head down there. And you may not get, granted, you'll always get your big one day, the first day everybody kind of wants to go and see what's new and what's, like you talked about the White House before and things like that, and seed swapping, which reminds me of my teenage days, I guess, in another realm. And then you go back and... Well, I got an interesting story. Back in the days... Back in the days when we used my father's station wagon for other things.
Was it an El Camino?
No, the El Camino didn't have a back to it. Remember?
Oh, that's true. That was what Bill Clinton had. He had the El Camino with the AstroTurf in the back, right.
Yeah, no, my parents had the good old 64 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, which could stick about 15 people in it. And it was interesting because, we did some seat swapping in the back seat when my parents were around. And about 3 months later, my dad's cleaning out the back of the car there, and he pulls up the floor mat, and one of the seeds actually germinated.
Oh, my goodness. In the back seat of the car?
No. Underneath the floor mat.
Oh, the floor mat. Okay.
And the carpet was wet. He pulls out. He brings it up to me, and it's about 3 inches high. He goes, "What's this?" I'm like, "I don't know." and it looked pretty good. I was thinking to myself, wow, germinating those types of seeds underneath the floor mat in the back seat of a family station wagon is an interesting approach.
It absolutely is.
And I'm telling you, my brothers and my dad, we joked about it. Years later, my dad was like, "I kind of thought that's what it was, but he had no idea back then. But anyway,
But I do want to tell you one thing here that I posted this last week, last week's show, about the New York Botanical Garden and some of the anomalies they're having there this year. There was an article in the New York Times about the mild weather, and they talk about the Japanese camellias, which typically bloom in early spring. Well, they've bloomed continuously since December. Honeybees are out. And the garden's vice president for horticulture said it's the earliest he's seen all these things in flower. And the horticulturists in the Bronx are calling it the global warming garden. And I know you hate that phrase, but...
No. I don't hate the phrase as long as it's used appropriately. And granted, while we didn't have, quote, global warming in parts of Europe this winter, many people think back to the fact that we had a very... or they'd had about a 3 to 4 week period of extremely cold weather. Actually, the first two-thirds of the winter was quite mild, whereas the three-thirds of our winter were mild. In fact, some of the numbers are really amazing, Mike. If you look back at the winter for Chicago, that basically kind of ended from a meteorological standpoint on the 1st of March, but really doesn't end from an astronomical standpoint until the 21st. Looking at all the long-range weather maps, we're done. There is nothing coming back here that's going to be anything that suggests the possibility of snow. And you could put the money in the bank on that one.
Wow.
The pattern just goes crazy warm for the next 2 weeks. We've actually had 50 days where the temperature eclipsed the 40-degree mark this year. We've only done that five other times in the history of Chicago, but all of that was when the weather records were kept downtown Chicago, whereas these records are now out of O'Hare. So I think you got to even push those numbers up a little bit. We only had 13 days where there was 1 inch of snow on the ground, and we haven't had a winter like that in almost 80 years. So you have to go back all the way to the 30s before you can get not only a mild winter, Mike, but the fact that we had so little snow on the ground. And I think that's one of the reasons why our soil temperatures are this warm.
Yeah. And you know, there's... It's not all good. One of the things in this article that I was reading, the squirrels have been digging up bulbs because I guess on the East Coast, and I don't know about the Midwest, there was an acorn shortage.
Yeah, because they can.
And because they can, exactly. But populations of, I was talking to some folks the other week about insects, and we're a little concerned that the ground didn't freeze at all, or certainly not deep enough to hurt some of the burrowing insects who just, you know, they go a little deeper and then they're going to come back. And so we might have increased insect populations this season. So that's the other bad thing that could happen.
Yeah. I know we only have another minute before I hit my forecast here, but that's a good point because I remember a few years ago.
Well, we're actually at your forecast point, so you got like a minute here.
Okay, but I can still get this in. It's interesting, when the ground is warm and wet, the squirrels will definitely find whatever you planted the year before. So bottom line, mid-60s today, rain arrives tonight. Tomorrow morning, a little bit of shower activity, but it's out of here by the noontime hour, and then temperatures in the mid-60s tomorrow and probably near 70, Mike, for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And if you didn't get all that, you can watch me on the lovely Channel 2 News tonight. Obviously, today is Selection Sunday, so we won't have an afternoon show, but we will see my smiling face on about 10:20 later on the feed.
Awesome. That's Rick DeMaio. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com or go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Mid-70s for 3 days in a row, is that what you said?
Low 70s, 3 days in a row.
Low 70s.
We won't get to record territory, but we're not going to see a temperature high lower than 60 degrees, Mike, until probably next Monday.
Unbelievable.
We go a full 7 to 8 days with temperatures about 20 degrees above normal. Yeah, pretty amazing
stuff. Yeah, it is. All right, we'll talk to you next week, Rick.
Okay, Mike.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
And let's not forget that this portion of the Mike Novak Show is also brought to you by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Lady B, did you see that story of a few weeks ago? They were talking about what President Obama has on his in his iTunes on his playlist, and this was one of the songs, Mr. Blue Sky. I just thought, wow, very 70s
yes,
of him, don't
is.
You think?
Yes, it is.
Oh, and he had it was interesting that they released that. He seems like a pretty hip guy, a lot hipper than I am. Of course, he's got people to help him be hip.
Right.
You know? So.
But you're hip, too.
Well, that's sweet of you to say, but. You know that's not the case. welcome back to the show. Second big hour, lots going on. Jim Slom is going to be here soon to talk about the Good Food Festival and Conference. But before we get to that, let's go back to Line 7. People seem to like Line 7 today.
Yes, they do.
And one of the people associated with the Good Food Festival and Conference is a woman I've known for a long time, and a permaculturist, and that's Vicki Nowicki. How you doing, Vicki?
I am so fine. I'm so perma.
You are. You are so perma.
You know, the time change really does things to your ability to talk and think.
You know what? And I'm telling you, I have given up on the time change. I do not approve of it. I do not advocate for it. I think it's just, and I've read, and you can read, there's just as much literature opposed to the time change as there is for it.
Oh, Mike, you just made that up.
No. There are a lot of people out there who say it's a big scam.
Okay.
And that some people make money, but it takes away money from, from other people. I just think the whole thing is just ridiculous.
That sounds like something for a whole different show. Now,
but you can only do it twice a year.
Okay.
So it's either I'm doing it on this show or I'm not, or I'm doing it in October or whenever it goes back. And that's the other thing. Nobody can keep track of when it comes and it goes. So.
Well, now, speaking of a whole different show,
yeah.
The festival is going to be a whole different festival.
Oh, you're so good. That's a nice segue. Very nicely
done. I know,
isn't
it good?
and it's the Good Food Festival and Conference. Now, some folks might remember it as the Family Farmed Expo.
I know. And we have actually gone national this year and have already given a Good Food Festival in Santa Monica.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fall.
Yeah.
So I think what we decided to do was sort of simplify our message because, as you know, there's so many movements out there. There's the real food movement and the raw food movement, the organic food movement, and so on and so forth. And I think people get kind of mixed up about, well, gee, you know, what should I eat and where should I get it and so on. So I think if people just think about going for good food, which is food that actually some people are talking about, food that our grandmothers ate.
Vicki, what I would say, growing for tasty food.
You know, when it comes right down to it, all of the people that I know who are in this movement, the farmers, the gardeners, the people who frequent the farmers markets, they will all tell you that it's the taste that is the reason that they're doing it. You might say, well, it's for my health, it's for this, it's for that. But when it comes right down to it, it's all about the taste.
But, you know, you make a really good point, which is that in another generation, we didn't think so hard about food. You're saying that it's a little more confusing, yeah, but education, the learning curve always is. And at some point, it becomes natural and easy. At this point, it's a little more difficult because, I know for one from living with Kathleen Thompson, who wrote a book about nutrition, that most people don't get nutrition at all. They don't understand anything about it. And in the old days, when it was easy, as you say, food was easy, but it was pretty bad for us too.
Well, maybe that's why Michael Pollan titled his book that it's a dilemma, because we just here in America, we kind of don't have a mantra, you know, that a system of American eating. We just don't even know what we're doing. Are we supposed to eat meat? Are we supposed to eat raw food? Are we supposed to, you know, we don't have a grandma who set a diet for us, and so we're all sort of out there searching for a pattern. And So I think the name Good Food Festival is really going to stick. And but the thing that's so different about the festival this year and so exciting to me is that we're having an entire day on Saturday, which is March 17th, which is actually next Saturday. Wow, it's coming up so fast. We're having an entire day of workshops. Now, these would be the equivalent of people signing up for a class and paying $50 to go to a, you know, a cooking school or some type of a local class. And these workshops are going to be teaching experiences where, for example, you can go once you have your ticket and learn how to make cheese. And the instructor will be showing you right there, real time, how to make cheese. And you'll get to sample a little bit of the finished product. And so it'll be a little different from last year where we had mostly panels of people talking about making cheese.
there's a difference between having somebody talk about it and somebody actually making cheese in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
Yes. But the panels are still there because I'm actually moderating one of those panels,
right.
Small Space Gardening, next week at on Saturday at 3:30. And you do have those seminars for people who want to come and learn, but you also have the workshops for the hands-on people. And Jim Slama is here in the studio, Vicki, and I want to say hi to him. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Mike.
He's the president and founder of FamilyFarmed.org. So what I'm going to ask you, what was behind putting the workshops in?
Well, you know, we've always had workshops. We decided to go a little bit deeper. You know, Vicki is doing a great three-hour workshop on four-season food preserving, you know, everything from freezing and canning and fermentation. We want to go deeper with people. We want to give them very explicit hands-on instructions on doing that. We've got Rob Levitt from Butcher and Larder doing a actual butchering demonstration followed by sausage making.
Wait.
All right, I didn't say slaughtering. I said butchering.
Okay.
But he's going to have a pig, and he's going to show how he breaks it down and makes, then, you know, shows the different cuts, and then he's going to make sausage right in front of people. So, you know, I mean, this has been going on in California for years.
Holy smoke.
Super popular. And we're finally, you know, we're bringing it here to the Midwest, and we're giving people what they want because, you know, whole animal is something that's increasingly important to people. They want to eat, you know, if they're going to eat meat, they're going to consume it all, and they want to use all the different parts, and so we're going to help them learn about that. We're going to help them learn about permaculture from Bill Wilson, I'm sure you know well.
Yes.
You know, three-hour intensive, bio-intensive permaculture workshop with Bill. We've got the cheese making, as Vicki said. Paul Varant, who a famous chef from Chicago, is doing a pickling and canning workshop. So this year, a lot of it's about DIY. A lot of stuff on gardening, quite a few gardening workshops, one you're moderating. We've got another one, gardening in small spaces. So we're excited to bring this kind of intensive learning to people who have been telling us that's what they want.
Vicki, how do you prepare you're the cheese lady, right?
Well, I'm moderating Jennifer Downing.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we're going to work together a bit because she's going to be juggling four different kinds of cheese. Right, all at the same time, she's going to make goat cheese, ricotta, mozzarella, and mascarpone cheese all at the same time. And she's also going to show some recipes for how to use those cheeses in dishes. And so I'm going to help her a little bit, you know, juggle her situation. And so that and we'll have an overhead mirror, just like Julia Child.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that the folks can see what's going on. And but I'll be in that workshop with her, as well as the early morning workshop from 9 to 12. Now, I'm going to have 3 hours. Thank you, Jim, because as you all know, I love to talk, and I love to...
I hadn't noticed.
But I really, I just love helping people along the way with what they're doing in the garden and in the home. My fondest dream is that everyone's home will just be a beacon of abundant food from the garden. And so we have other chefs and gardeners with me who are each going to show one facet of food storage. And then I'm going to show how to pull it all together into a meal plan so that during the winter, you're going to eat like a king. You're not going to be, you know, eating like you're in the Depression or something.
Yeah, but Vicki, you fail to realize we don't have winters anymore.
We had one last year.
We had one last year. We didn't have one this year. Did you hear the forecast? Oh, my goodness. It's just.
I know. Well, maybe I should be showing how to actually plant greens next Saturday instead.
And you talk about all this going on. That's just Saturday. That's just one day out of three of the Good Food Festival. You've got a financing conference on Thursday, a trade show conference, and policy summit on Friday. But I look at it as the Good Food Festival on Saturday is sort of the grand finale. And that's when usually the energy is just amazing in that, and you've got the booths and people bustling, and it's noisy and it's fun, and it's the perfect culmination of 3-day event. And I want to talk about that with Jim and Vicki Nowicki. Jim Slama is in the studio. Vicki Nowicki is on the phone. Let me take care of some business, and we will get back to that. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally Schmidtke is not a real doctor, so we can't figure out why he drives a Maserati. Anyway, Wally says that rhubarb should not be harvested after a hard freeze. Do you know about this, Vicki?
You mean a hard freeze in the spring?
Yeah. Actually, according to Illinois Extension, the leaves and eventually the stem may become toxic. Rhubarb leaves should never be eaten, and petioles, that's the part you eat, should be harvested only from plants that have suffered no frost damage. Rhubarb leaves contain an oxalic acid, a toxic substance that may move into the petioles after frost damage. When consumed, the oxalic acid can crystallize in the kidneys and cause permanent damage to the organs. So, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, so, I didn't know that.
There you go. So if your rhubarb has been shooting up and you're thinking of harvesting tender shoots, make sure they haven't been zapped by a late-season frost. Doesn't look like we have one on the way, but it still could happen. This is Chicago, after all. You might be better off giving them a haircut to the ground and letting them grow back. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
Are you passionate about health and wellness, nutrition, fitness, personal growth, or living a more sustainable and green lifestyle? Then pick up your free copy of Natural Awakenings magazine throughout the city of Chicago and northern and northwestern suburbs. Natural Awakenings is available at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, retail locations, and wherever free publications are found. Natural Awakenings is your local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and complementary medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, a local events calendar, and so much more. Natural Awakenings is also the perfect way for advertisers to reach health-conscious and green readers that actively support like-minded businesses and service providers. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Pick up your copy of Natural Awakenings at more than 800 area locations or read it online at nachicagonorth.com.
Here's some advice for an early spring. Some insects might have had an easy ride this winter, so you might want to spoil that ride by picking up some All Seasons oil spray from Bonide to treat your shade trees, fruit trees, shrubs, roses, houseplants, and ornamental plants. Early spraying smothers most insect eggs left behind by last year's plant-destroying insects and helps to control all insects throughout the growing season. So show those aphids, mites, gnats, and thrips some smotherly love. Bonide All Seasons Oil is available in ready-to-use quartz, concentrate, and in a convenient ready-to-spray formulation with built-in hose end applicator. Go green this year. Try All Seasons Spray Oil by Bonide. You can find it at these local retailers, Chalet in The Chalet in Wilmette, Illinois, Graff Gardens in Worth, Illinois, Berthold's Flower Barn in Elk Grove, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or Droid. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Jim Slama is in the studio. He is the founder and president of FamilyFarmed.org. They're holding their annual festival this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at the UIC Forum, 725 West Roosevelt Road in Chicago. Vicki Nowicki is also with us. She's on the phone, and she's one of the presenters, going to be doing workshops there, and a longtime practicer of permaculture herself. Jim, you know, we're talking about changing the world. That's all you're interested in here, isn't it? You don't do things in a small way, do you?
No, this is our eighth year, which we're really excited about. You know,
that's amazing. And you've bounced around a little bit. I can remember when you were at Navy Pier and some other.
Navy Pier, year one, Chicago Cultural Center. We took over that whole big building on Michigan Avenue for a few years. But UIC Forum's home. It's a great place, very professional event space. And, we've done it here 8 years. We did it in Santa Monica last year. I was just out in California again. We're planning our number two in the L.A. area, which is exciting.
You're going to expand to other cities, do you think?
Wouldn't mind it. Folks in New York want us to do it there. It'd be good to be in the three largest cities in America.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the point is, it's just not foodies coming in and, you know, selling stuff. It's about the science of it and the business of food and local food and that whole movement that's changing us and changing the world. Vicki and I started at the top by talking about how, in a way, it used to be easier because we didn't think about all this stuff, but now we do, and that's actually really good for us.
You know, this is about, I mean, we named it Good Food because this is all about the good food movement. And there's multiple elements to it. There's, you know, there's the growing, there's the preserving, there's the, you know, the animal side. We only want to eat food from animals that are treated humanely and eat well and, you know, live their lives in a way that's natural to them. But also there's the whole business side of the movement, and that's what Thursday's about. We've got a financing conference. Last year, three of the companies that were associated with it got financing from investors who want to help grow their business. I know, it's a really cool, we're making an impact here. The trade show, you know, we've got all the major distributors in Chicago now coming to meet up with our farmers and do business with them. We've got the Green Chicago Restaurant Co-op, who represents 300 restaurants there as a partner, and we're helping their restaurants source food. So, you know, this goes beyond. I mean, it's great for the consumer side, and Saturday is an amazing day for people and families. We've got a kids' court, all the aspects that you would expect in a festival we've got. But in addition, this is about building the movement on all levels. And this is by far the best event of its type in the country, and doing this, we're very proud of that, and we want to keep growing. And for people who are interested in good food as a career, they should really come on Thursday and Friday as well. And of course, don't let me forget, Mike's favorite is the Localicious party.
There we go.
On Friday night, because, you know, we have, I don't know, 7 or 8 different alcohol providers, but Mike, of course, will just be, you know, observing others get a little silly while they sample from 30 different restaurants and have a lot of drink, and most importantly, connect with a lot of people in this movement who are either there just because they want to come or speakers or other exhibitors. It's a great place to come together with this movement.
Yeah, and if you're even there's room even for policy wonks, you know, with Friday, the policy summit, I've marked that on my calendar because there's a lot going on in Chicago right now in terms of policy.
Well, and, you know, I think and people who come on Saturday probably won't benefit from this, but Jim fails to mention that his organization has been able to influence legislation, which is the bottom line, really, for farmers, both in Illinois and even in Washington, that has been of benefit to farmers and, you know, their farms. And so that, you know, that's really been one of the overriding.
So Vicki, what you're saying, I imagine, is that people come in on Friday and you do have lawmakers who come in and heads of important not-for-profits, you know, NCOs, and they do make policy and then go out and execute it sometimes. And that has happened as a result of what goes on at the festival.
Oh, yeah. One of the chief sponsors of the Illinois Food, Farms, and Jobs Act, Senator Jackie Collins, is there Friday afternoon, Empowering Food Access Seminar. The Cook County Office of Public Health is very much involved now in food access. They're going to be there. The City of Chicago Policy Director Mike Simmons is speaking in the morning. On Thursday, we've got the head of the Illinois Department of Commerce, which is the biggest agency in the state. They are actively involved in supporting food hubs. He's speaking about food hubs along with his name's Warren Ribley, along with Colleen Callahan, who runs the USDA's Illinois Rural Development Office, who's also working on food hubs. So, you know, there is public policy going on all across the spectrum there over the whole weekend. Oh, and then on Saturday, there's a great panel about GMOs. We've got Dave Murphy speaking from Food Democracy Now, who's a real kind of a rebel rouser nationally. Mm-hmm. And he's very much involved in the GMO labeling initiative in California. I was just out there, and, you know, they're well on their way to gathering 800,000 signatures to put a ballot initiative in November to determine whether or not genetically engineered foods are labeled. And if that happens,
in one state
in California.
In California.
Yeah, and it's the biggest state in the union. If that happens, the game is changed.
Yeah.
It's going to bring transparency at a huge level.
Because we can't get it done on a national level, unfortunately, because
politically,
of
it won't happen.
The moneyed interest. And that's – do you see that your policy days, they have to address big ag and how – to deal with that and get the local food movement to become more of a player. Obviously, that's the kind of leverage you're working on. It just seems like, you know, it's a David and Goliath thing. There's so much food policy seems to remain the same. In fact, I see one of the seminars you have on Friday is going to be about the food bill. Or the farm bill, rather, coming up.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's a big area, and historically, much of the money from the farm bill goes to subsidize commodity farmers. And at this point, much of commodity agriculture is very large farms, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 acres doing either just corn or maybe a corn and bean rotation. It's not all that sustainable. Most of the time, it's genetically engineered crops. And it's highly subsidized. And on the other side, you know, local, organic, sustainable fruits and vegetables, that kind of agriculture is not very subsidized, if at all. And so we're fighting to get more support for those kind of agricultural practices. And in fact, Senator Durbin has co-sponsored a bill, the Food, Farms, and Jobs Act, which he may not know it, but it was named after our Food, Farms, and Jobs Act here in Illinois, and it's now a component.
I hope he knows that, because
I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and I told him, I said, well, you know, that first came from Illinois, and he's like, really? And well, it was actually adopted by a legislator in Maine, a representative from Maine, who introduced it in the House, and then Senator Durbin heard about it, and then he co-sponsored the Senate measure, but it's a companion bill to the farm bill, and it's all about supporting local and sustainable food, which is great.
Yeah, and
so
Mike,
you know, what I'm trying to say is people always say, well, what can one person do to change the way food is distributed or the way food is grown and so on and so forth. Well, what one person can do this week is to support the Good Food Festival by buying a ticket and going to the day that's open to the public, which is next Saturday. You see, we're, you know, because it's more than just going to the workshops and so forth. It's supporting the organization, which is working all year long to make these changes for us. You know what I'm saying? And so often we elect people, we vote for bills and so forth that are, benefit. But this is for us. This is for the food that is in to our benefit. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, and since you brought that up, I want to just go real quickly to some of the great seminars on Saturday if people are interested. Because, you know, you don't have to sit in seminars all day. You go to a seminar, and then you go to the booths, and you check
right.
out some of the great vendors that are there, different kinds of food, different farms and CSAs. But on Saturday... in the morning, there's a bus tour, actually, of if you want to go off-site to Windy City Harvest, Wood Street Farm, Iron Street Farm, The Plant. I've talked about The Plant a couple of weeks ago on my show. And then there's the one that you're involved with, Vicki, the Preserving Food, a four-season master plan. There's the Permaculture, Sustainable Gardening Following Nature's Design. And as Jim brought up, the whole animal butchering and sausage making. It's that's politics, right? We don't want to watch the sausage being made. Then there's a Visionary Farmers Seminar. What you need to know about GMOs, preservation kitchen, canning and pickling with Paul Virant, composting for everyone, the buzz on bees, growing a good food community, fermented food, four-season gardening in Chicago, chickens. There's a seminar on chickens coming home to roost.
Every year it's packed. Backyard
people
chickens
love
are,
and Martha Boyd, who talks about chickens on my show all the time, she's always there.
And she just sent out a thing saying that Jennifer Aniston's keeping chickens now. You know we've made it to the big time.
And then there's local and organic eating on a dime. That sounds like a lot of fun. Home cheese making, small space gardening. That's the one I will be moderating. And putting vegetables at the center of your plate. So it's all there. It's just great stuff all day long.
And don't forget about the chef demos. We've got Heather Sperling, the editor of Tasting Table, is moderating. Bruce Sherman from North Pond. Karen Calabrese from Karen's Raw is doing a raw food. I guess it's not a cooking demo.
No.
it's
related.
Related. It's definitely a demonstration of food. Mark Mendez from Vera, which is a super hot restaurant right now. Heather Terhune from Sable Kitchen. She's just on Top Chef. She was kind of the darker panelist on Top Chef, but she got a big following. And that's all part of the demos and the exhibit hall are part of the base package, which is $15 ticket for that. The regular workshops is a $45 kind of silver package. And then if you want to do the whole thing with the, you know, 3-hour intensive morning session or the bus tour, that's a $75 package. That's all if you buy in advance. So I really recommend that people get their tickets in advance because otherwise they'll pay more at the door.
And all that information is on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've got the links to everything, too, so you can take a look at which days are doing what and when the seminars are and the website for the Good Food Festival and Conference. Vicki, thanks so much for joining me. I will see you next Saturday.
Yeah, it was fun. And, Jim, I'll see you soon, too.
Looking forward to it, Vicki.
Yeah, me too.
All right, take care.
Okay.
And, Jim, thank you for coming down here and seeing the new studios. You like the digs,
very
huh?
Very nice digs, boy. This is they're moving into the 21st century, modern, cool,
and
awesome.
I figured if I told you that we had new studios, then you wouldn't just call in on the phone. So I'm glad you were able to be here in person.
I'm happy to see you and happy to be here, Mike. Thank you.
And I will see you next week as well.
Indeed.
All right. Thanks a lot. Spring is blooming at Allsip Nursery, and right now they have everything you'll need to get your yard and garden in shape. Now is the time to start flowers and vegetables from seed. It's a great family project, and Allsip Nursery has everything you'll need, including seed packets, soils, supplies, and indoor grow lights. And if you want to, you know, if you're Rick DeMaio, you have your own kind of Seed Swap. And if you want to have the best lawn on the block, get started. Allsup has the best brands, including premium grass seed, organic fertilizers, and weed controls from Jonathan Green. Learn more about all that Allsup Nursery has to offer during their annual flower and garden show at both of their stores on Saturday and Sunday, March 24th and 25th. You'll be able to meet with an elite group of vendors and special guests and see for yourself all that's new and neat for 2012, with a special emphasis on earth-friendly products. Dozens of exhibitors will be on hand, plus there'll be door prizes, free product demos, and educational seminars, including, yes, my own presentation. I'm not really a garden expert. I just play one on the radio. And I'll be there at 11 a.m., hanging out with the Dr. Earth people and doing my talk at 1 o'clock. And that is on March 24th, Saturday. So stop by Allsup Nursery for the best of every season in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Also online at AllsupNursery.com. That's A-L-S-I-P Nursery.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. On the Care of Trees website, you can find Ask the Tree Doctor, which features questions answered by Rex Bastian, Ph.D. He's been on this program before. One person wrote, "There is a mature Norway maple on the parkway in front of my home. The half of the tree that is facing east looks fine, but the western half of the tree has branches that are bare and leaves that are small and not getting bigger." Well, Dr. Bastian wrote back, "It looks like you have thinning of the crown, which could be a result of several things. Norway maples are notorious for developing stem-girdling roots. They encircle the base of the tree, often out of sight below ground. They become more problematic as the trees get older, and the trunk and roots grow into each other. Invite Dr. Rex and the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees and perhaps give you some advice. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's continue our winding road. Let's go to the phones and bring in Karen Hudson, who's with the Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. How you doing, Karen?
Good morning. Great.
Good to talk to you. You know, it's interesting just having had Jim Slama on the show and talking about the Good Food Festival and you know, trying to change our laws. And you're kind of involved in that. You're a farmer yourself, first of all, right?
Yes, we're farmers.
And what kind of farming do you do?
We grow grains on our farm. We used to have livestock, but now we're mostly in grain.
Mm-hmm.
And we live near a large-scale factory farm, and that's what got me started on this whole issue about 14 years ago.
And the issue is something that I don't even remember how I got word of it this past week. But I got wind of an article that Monica Ang did in the Chicago Tribune about how in Iowa the governor had just signed what they call an ag gag law. Would you explain what that means?
Well, the ag gag law is an attempt by industry to chill folks who are either monitoring outside the facility or taking photos of animals being abused inside the facility or other pollution events inside the facility.
And it is just one of several states that have been looking at these things. And the governor said he didn't know whether he was going to sign it, but of course he did. Isn't that the way they always are? It's like, we'll just play to the other side for a little bit, and then we're going to sign it. And basically, it puts the clamp down on whistleblowers.
It does. It does. We used photographs and documentation in one of the largest waste spills in Illinois history that was a deliberate spill several years ago. And we took to the skies and took aerial photographs of this, where they dumped between 2 and 10 million gallons of raw urine and feces from a dairy onto the ground. This documentation we took to court, and the Attorney General's assistant asked us if they could use this for state's evidence, and we surrendered them to them, and they gave them back when they were finished. But the good part about this was that they were used in prosecuting a fine of $50,000, and they went forward, and the federal EPA fined this person, and now they are a convicted felon for violating the Clean Water Act. So, in essence, these documentations supply information that Illinois attorney generals and health departments and legislators and all decision makers need to really crack down on factory farms.
And it's not that every person who owns a factory farm is going to end up being a convicted felon, but there are things that go on there that the public has a right to know about.
Yeah. Well, now they're making it that if you take a photo of them, you're going to be a convicted felon. And yes, there are things that go on these facilities, and we can talk about those in terms of water quality. We have found that USDA reported that CAFOs routinely cut quarters with irresponsible manure management. For those of you out there who don't know what a CAFO is, that's a concentrated animal feeding operation where animals are held by the thousands to tens of thousands in very tiny confined places, and they mostly never see the light of day and are confined within a building for their entire lives.
Now, you're with the Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. How long have you been investigating these sorts of activities?
Well, I've been at it since 1996. I remember it was August of 1996 when we first heard that a factory farm was coming near our community in Elmwood, Illinois. And we mobilized. Most of us didn't even know what a factory farm was, so we had to learn while we were on our feet running. And we formed a group that opposed this one and another one, and we put a website up, and soon people were contacting us from all over the country for help and information. And that was when websites started to get very, very popular, and our social network grew and basically educated people around the country about it.
And this week, part of the reason I got interested in this story, certainly because of the Iowa law, which is now passed. Now, just what kind of restrictions? You say that you can't observe these factory farms in the same way you could in the past now in Iowa. And what does that mean? Does that mean you can't stand across the street and take a picture?
Well, I'm not exactly sure of the Iowa verbiage of their bill, but the bills that they are attempting to pass is taking a photo of an animal feeding.
And you're talking about, and that was the other point I was going to make. It was in committee in Illinois,
yes.
in the Illinois
yes.
General Assembly
yes.
this week.
Yes.
And then, and this is on the heels of Iowa passing their law. And then, some articles came out, like Monica Eng, and thank you to Monica Eng at the Chicago Tribune. And then the committee in Illinois, as I read, I think Monica wrote it in her article, said quietly dropped the matter
yes.
because the publicity is not good. And
yes.
they know that, they know this is not good policy. This is, again, this is big business, big ag, pumping money into these legislatures to be able to cover up some of these operations, which are in violation of our clean air and water laws.
Right. This is also a form of a bill, a similar bill they tried to pass several years ago. So it always rears its ugly head every couple of years. And we have such a good coalition in Illinois. We have over 30 counties working with Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water, including all the other animal industry or animal groups, environmental groups, water groups, all of us formed a coalition this past week and called and wrote and sent documentation in opposition to this, and it really made a difference. We stepped up to the plate, and we were very satisfied with the results.
But, you know, that's so interesting. I'm wondering if the goal there in the committee was, let's kind of slide this through and see if anybody's paying attention. Well, thank goodness you were paying attention. There are other states that are working on the same kinds of laws.
There are others. And as you say, slide under the rug, did not pay attention. The last time they introduced this similar bill, it was tacked on to the end of an anti-terrorist legislation, which in effect looked very good to all the legislators. Well, let's vote for something for anti-terrorism. But they failed to look at the end of the bill. Were attached to this bill was this ag-gag law. And we stepped up to the plate again and informed everyone, including the Chicago Tribune, about this. And when they interviewed a legislator, she said, I voted for that. So we had to educate the legislators that they need to look at the very last page of their bills, because there's often things that are attached there that they do not stand for.
You know what? I always wonder about that. Don't these people have staffs? Don't these people have, you know, when I hear that, especially with our Senate in Washington, when somebody says, well, that bill, nobody's had time to read it. And I'm thinking, don't you have people to do that and tell you the salient, even if you don't do it yourself?
I would hope they do, but my gut tells me that that does not happen. There are so many thousands of bills going through. If you go to the Illinois Springfield website on pending bills, you just scroll and scroll and scroll. There's just hundreds and hundreds of these bills.
Yeah.
So I believe that it's hard for individuals, especially legislators, to keep track of what's going on.
We're talking to Karen Hudson, who's with Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. I want to get back to this, what you did before when you went up in, was it a helicopter or an airplane?
An airplane.
An airplane, and you documented a violation of the Clean Water Act, got a guy convicted, sent to jail. Under the law that was proposed in Illinois, would you have been able to do that?
The new language in this bill is very vague, because it talks about possessing photographs that may be a hinder to economic activity at a facility. So I take that as a broad paintbrush to include folks who take pictures of spills and aerial photos to be included in that.
And it's disheartening to think that the CAFOs could get away with what they're doing, because we will legislate watchdogs and whistleblowers out of existence, basically.
Right. We have a great report that just came out called the Pew Commission on Industrial Animal Production. And this is a 2.5-year study. And basically, this concluded that these factory farms pose unacceptable risks to human health and the environment. And within that research, they found that factory farms in the United States produce 3 times more manure than humans. So that's quite a bit of manure that we need to start looking at and concentrating on where it's going, how it's being treated, and how it's being handled. That commission received industry flack before they sent their report out, but they stayed true to what they found, and we're very glad that the Pew Commission stood firm in their opinion.
And I appreciate you doing this, because I know you're a farmer yourself. That's, you know, you're walking the walk here, and you know, it's one thing to have what they would consider a do-gooder, you know, city guy like me going out there, but somebody who has been on a farm and understands the dangers of this pollution and letting it go unchallenged, I think gives you a lot more credibility.
It does. An example of that would be a lawsuit in McLean County to try and stop a very large dairy. And in this lawsuit, there were 19 plaintiffs against the building of this factory farm. Out of these 19 plaintiffs, 11 were family farmers that lived in the neighborhood. So when industry says that these are folks from the city who don't understand what country is or country smells are, what do they have to say to that? Because people I work with all over the country are farming and farmers who have to live next to these facilities. Farmers can't get up and move. A person who's not farming may be able to move, but farmers are there. They've been there for generations. That's a very sad fact that our generation family farmers across the country have no protection against these.
Well, Karen Hudson, I'm glad you're out there paying attention, and I hope you keep in touch because we don't want this to slip through the legislature again, because they, you know, they will. They'll try it again.
But we're trying to educate. We will be at the Good Food Fest, so everyone please come and visit our display. We will have a lot of factual information for you to take to your legislators.
And I will see you there at the Good Food Festival. Thanks again, Karen Hudson, Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one now.
Bye-bye.
The next time you walk or bike along any of the 62 miles of the Illinois Prairie Path in DuPage County, think about the fact that it was the nation's first rails-to-trails conversion back in 1963. And as you stroll along the Illinois and Michigan Canal National Heritage Corridor on the banks of the waterway that helped make Chicago an iconic transportation hub in the 19th century, keep in mind that more than 40 National Heritage Corridors now exist, but the one in Illinois was the first. Those are just two of the success stories of the remarkable organization called Openlands, which will celebrate its 50th anniversary next year. In those 50 years, Openlands has helped save, secure, and provide public access to more than 55,000 acres of land in Northeast Illinois and the surrounding region. If you can think of a way to preserve, advocate for, and celebrate our green spaces, Openlands has probably done it. I'm proud to say that I'm a fan of Openlands. Volunteer your time, donate to a project, or just enjoy one of their many public spaces by going to openlands.org. Openlands, conserving nature for life.
Lake Michigan. It's our drinking water. Who will protect it from pollution and invaders like Asian carp? Who will clean up the Chicago River and make it a healthy, inviting waterway that flows through our neighborhoods? Sierra Club is proud to recommend two great women, Deborah Shore and Carrie Steele, to protect these two great waters. Deborah Shore and Carrie Steele, a conservationist and a chemist, have earned the Sierra Club's endorsement for Water Reclamation District. Two great women to protect two great waters, Lake Michigan and our Chicago River. Learn more about Deborah Shore and Carrie Steele at illinois.sierraclub.org. That's illinois.sierraclub.org. Paid for by the Sierra Club Illinois Political Committee.
Well, it's now officially meteorological spring, which means that all heck is about to break loose. In your garden, that is, so you need a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. The March-April issue is out, and this is always special because it includes the resource guide, which gives you information about garden centers, florists, supplies, and so much more throughout Chicagoland. The resource guide is its own magazine, except that in place of articles, there are listings that include where to find tools, supplies and seeds, soil, fertilizers, mulching, compost, power equipment, and gardening tools. It covers services like paving, irrigation systems, tree services, lighting, contractors, and lawn and maintenance. You'll learn where to get containers, antiques, fountains, statuary, trellises, and bird feeders. There's even information about arboreta, public display gardens, books, publications, and classes. That's one helpful little magazine. And the best thing about the resource guide is I didn't write a word in it. Get the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine with the oh-so-valuable resource guide. Go to newsstands all over town or chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
There's still plenty of time to order your D. Landreth Seed 2012 catalog. And here's one more reason, the Mammoth Red Rock Cabbage. Cabbage originated in the Middle East and then spread to Europe thousands of years ago. Some of the oldest heading cabbages were the purple varieties, the red-purple varieties like Mammoth Red Rock. Cabbages were a key component of the early American diet because they stored well and could be pickled. Today, cabbage is not nearly as important to the American diet as it once was. Cabbage should be planted as early as the soil can be tilled in the spring. I guess we're talking right now. And midsummer for late fall harvest. The plants will tolerate light frosts. It takes about 8 weeks for a cabbage to produce a head, much longer for late varieties. Mammoth Red Rock, one of the oldest cabbages still in cultivation, produces 5 pounds, flattened round heads of a striking burgundy color. The leaves of the plant contain an antioxidant, which makes it an excellent nutritional source. Log on to LandrethSeeds.com or call 800-654-2407 or find them on Facebook. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784. Okay, we're coming in for a three-point landing here. And before we do, I want to go to the phones and bring in John McKee from Starved Rock. He's with Starved Rock Audubon and the Starved Rock Foundation. How you doing, John?
I'm okay, Mike. How are you this morning?
I'm great, and I appreciate you being on the show. We just have a few minutes, but I wanted to alert folks. People do ask me what's going on with Starved Rock and putting a open pit sand mine next to it. And there's going to be a hearing tomorrow evening, is it, or is it during the day?
It is tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. And the LaSalle County Board is meeting again. And this time it's what is the reason, the purpose of this meeting?
The issue that is going to be addressed at the meeting relevant to the sand mine is whether or not the county board will request the DNR to hold public hearings regarding the permitting process on the mine. As I understand it, it'll be specifically with regards to the reclamation plan of Mississippi Sand, but I'm not sure how broad that will become.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the DNR will not hold public hearings unless the county board requests them.
Okay, so and as we move forward, the county has already approved this sand mine, and now it goes to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and so the county is now going to decide whether the IDNR should hold hearings about this, and you would, of course, say, yes, they should.
I would indeed, and I would further say, why not? What possible reason could they have for not allowing the citizens of LaSalle County, who are giving Mississippi Sand huge profits, to scrutinize and comment on every step of this process? I can't understand any reason why we should not be afforded opportunity.
As I wrote on my website, and this is the way I look at it. It's my opinion. The LaSalle County Board is meeting on Monday to decide whether they're interested in democracy.
Well, yes, I think that's probably puts a pretty good light on it.
You would like people to show up at this meeting, which is going to be held at Festivities Unlimited, 1504 Poplar at Route 6 and Poplar in Ottawa, and voice their opinions and tell. I'm with you. It's like people should come in and say, hey, why would you hide this under a rock? Why wouldn't the DNR have open hearings about the effects of a big 90-foot deep pit next to Starved Rock State Park?
Yes, indeed. And by the way, the people that show up can only be there in spirit other than a couple of us that will be permitted to speak. The county board rules allow three public speakers for any specific board meeting, and each speaker is allowed 5 minutes. and only two of those can address a single issue. I put in a letter sometime back requesting permission to speak at this meeting, and I have been authorized to be one of the speakers. So I'm the only one, I assume, that will be allowed to speak in favor of having these public hearings.
Wow. Is everybody who's going to speak going to be in favor of holding public hearings, or do you think there's going to be somebody speaking against this?
I have no idea, but I would not be at all surprised. I have not been able to find an agenda online for the meeting, so I don't know who else. I just was told I was going to be able to speak Friday afternoon.
Doesn't seem like there's a lot of transparency there in the LaSalle County Board.
Yeah, I don't know who else is going to speak. I would certainly expect that if they let me speak and they know what I'm going to have to say, they will let the Mississippi Mind representatives have their say about it.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to keep following this, and we'll see where this goes. You know, I hope the governor's paying attention. I hope the lieutenant governor's paying attention. I hope the IDNR is paying attention, and good luck tomorrow evening. And
thank you, Mike, and thank you for giving us a forum.
It's my pleasure. Take care. That's it. We will see you next week. I will be Facebooking all this and keeping you up to date, and, well, all I've got to say is go green or go home.